And welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. This is Kevin Walter, your host again. True Wealth is brought to you by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker-dealer depository service, known as the name you can trust. We have honesty, integrity, and professionalism has been part of our motto for over two decades. We specialize on being a high-volume, low-margin dealer, which is basically pretty obvious, I guess, that we like to do large quantities for small profits. We're not looking just to, you know, deal with, you know, small collections or big collections. We really are masters of it all. We've been around a long time. We've done quite a bit of business over the years. We have a lot of radio show listeners. We have done a lot of wealth and capital preservation specialization. We build portfolios. Probably the best way to look at what we do is when we balance, we do balance portfolios. And the way those generally work is you've got your super hyper liquid asset type thing going there where you've got, you know, your gold, your silver, your liquid assets. I don't know, in general, if people understand how liquid, and trust me, I'll explain here in a minute. I don't know if people understand how liquid gold and silver and coins and stuff are. Folks, I'm in a weird spot. I have multiple very nice properties, okay? I'll be honest with you. I've talked about in the past, gee, how many millions of times, that the things that are biblically attributed as true wealth are, and people can chime in and say them with me, gold and silver, livestock. Oops, excuse me. Gold and silver, livestock, real estate, human life, precious stones, right? Right now I've got court going through, you know, my goodness, you know, literally probably 20 pounds of precious stones, trying to make heads or tails out of some stuff that we've built up over the years. But when it comes to liquidity, okay, I've got some, you know, probably what I'd call exotic properties. I have a nice piece of waterfront property. I've got my building, that most people have seen, you know, is probably one of the nicest facilities in this entire industry nationwide, which is really, as a side note, which is my specialty, is basically, you know, so as we talk about liquidity, but as a side note, our facility is one of the nicest in the nation. But the problem that is really changing things, I guess, to put it one way, the internet. I mean, it's really... I'm struggling with this mentally because you spend 20 some years establishing a reputation. You build, you commit to a, what we call a brick and mortar facility. So I built a 12,000 square foot building from the ground up years ago. You know, I've heard people say, oh yeah, well that adds overhead. Well, it's free and clear. We don't owe money on it. So that doesn't matter. But the point is that you have such a commitment to your community, to, you know, to everything. We offer one of the highest rated privately held depositories in the Western United States. Super high security. You know, I won't go into it all, but incredible surveillance, you know, recordings and 42 cameras and, you know, bullet and bomb resistant polycarbonates and military grade Kevlar walls and, you know, concrete and steel and on it goes, right? So we've got all this kind of stuff. But now in the new world that we live in, if you're, all you have to do is go on the internet and buy a nice website. I just ran into a situation with a lady who bought a bunch of stuff through some company called Birch something, you know, and moved her 401k and IRA over with them. And, You know, it's always the same thing, folks. There's commission salespeople. They add tremendous profits onto the deal, or tremendous, whatever you want to call it. And it's just not the way precious metals work. The way precious metals work, the way our margins work, is like this. If you think of an ounce of gold, people ask, well, when do you make your money? When you buy or when you sell? And then some people say, well, you make money when you buy and sell. Well, you can't make money when you buy something, right? I mean, you can mentally say I'm going to make money when I sell it, but you can't, like, you don't make money when you buy something. You can't go out and buy a car. Say a car is worth $5,000 and you buy it for $4,000. You didn't make $1,000. You don't make $1,000 until you sell it for $5,000. Once you sell that car for $5,000, then you made $1,000. So the way our market works, the way our precious metals work, is you think of them, you know, think of precious metal spot prices as like a $100 bill. Okay, so what happens is you come in the door with a $100 bill. We give you $100. Say, here's your $100. Then the next person who comes and says, I want that $100 bill. We say, well, we're going to charge you 2%. So you have to pay us $102 to get that $100 bill. Well, then say that person later on down the road says, you know, I'm done with my $100 bill. He'll sell it back to us for $100. We turn around. Next person who wants it, we mark it up $2, $102. So what happens is it takes a full circle of transaction trade in order for the profit to be made or realized. Okay. So we don't make money coming and going and all the stuff like people ask. We make it once when we sell. What changes as well is the fact that, you know, the spot prices change. I mean, we're in the game with you. Sure, I can buy futures contracts and hedge and as a dealer and, you know, but I have to have, you know, you just spend a ton of fees. I don't do it. I actually wake up every day and go, where's gold today? Oh, no, I have 200 ounces. It's down $10 and I lost $2,000. Or I'm like, where's gold today? Oh, good. It's up $13. I have 200 ounces. I made $2,600. I mean, I'm just like you. The long run story of it all really is the fact that precious metals are the hard, you know, they're the hard asset, crash proof, time tested, butt kicking, you know, real stuff. And you know, when I watched a movie last night, this weekend was a weird weekend. I brought home a ton of, you know, I'm digging through my vault, you know, and of stuff I've saved, and it's stuff that I'm pulling out and I'm getting it ready for investors. I'm putting in some investment portfolios, stuff that I've saved for myself over the years that, you know, different stuff that, you know, it's just good stuff. I've been working on organizing it and, you know, I just can't afford to keep it all. Is basically what's going on. Obviously, in this business, if you like coins, you know, you just can't keep them all. You got to decide what you keep and what you don't. You can't keep it all. So what I like to do, my second greatest desire, is to get those good coins into the hands of local private investors and collectors. I can sell the stuff to dealers all day long. Boom. I can sell it online all day long. Boom. But it's gone. Those really neat, nice, phenomenal coins or little hoards of stuff, they're gone. You know, they're gone. Once they're gone, they're not coming back. That's the other thing I hate about the internet. Now, the internet, number one, you know, Amazon.com and all this stuff is super sad. I mean, it's sad. It's like, to me, it scares me because it's like everything is getting super centralized. I mean, when you got Amazon that's got so darn much money burning a hole in their pocket, they're like, God, we better buy a wholesale food company, or we better buy, or Whole Foods, I guess it is, right? The healthy, amazing. When I was in New York, I went to Whole Foods. It's not a grocery store. I don't even know how to describe it. It's massive. It's the hugest grocery store you've ever seen. And then they have every section of every flavor of food. And you can buy food right there and eat it. It's like a restaurant. It's like a thousand restaurants in one. They literally have like they had like, when I was in New York, downtown New York, in the Trump Center, there were like 12, if you count both sides, 12 checker lanes. And the numbers just go 24, 25, 26, and you just got to run. You run up, you run up. It's like a race. We'd stand there and go, how come they never let us go? Well, because when you're in New York, you got to learn. You got to put on your boxing gloves and you got to fight to get wherever you want to go. And, you know, you go outside of the Trump Center on number one Trump Plaza there, and it's off Central Park, and it's just packed, you know, wall to wall, cars everywhere, people everywhere. And then when we, of course, were there for some unknown reason, Donald Trump decided to come to town. I don't remember why. And, oh, my goodness, they plugged up traffic so bad that we missed a show. We were meeting friends, I mean, old friends who live out there who are from, like, Connecticut or Greenwich or something like that. And they made a special trip down to see us, and, you know, we missed them and everything. So all because they shut things down so bad because Trump was coming to town. Well, apparently, you know, the Secret Service and stuff, when, I mean, they protect that man. I wouldn't have understood it quite as much had I not just been to Washington, D.C., because I'll tell you what, you think New York is bad. I mean, Washington, D.C. is insane. I mean, if you live there, I would go nuts. Like, every you know, hour, it's something special, and someone special's coming to town. And they, you know, they lock things down and freeze things up. There are cops everywhere. I mean, it is just cop haven. And they're the Washington State or Capitol Police is what they are. They're everywhere. It's actually kind of like weird. It's like police state city. It's very different than anything I've ever experienced before in my life. And, you know, it's just, I don't know. I can't imagine living there. I have a friend who lived there for a while as he was working his way up in one of our alphabet soup agencies in the government. And he and his wife hated it, just hated it. And it was, you know, I can kind of relate because it's just, it's weird. You're just surrounded by like the most, you know, it's kind of weird. They're the most important people in the world, right? But why? Because they represent us. Do you know how many morons, excuse me, there are that seem to get into politics? I mean, there's people that are just total goofballs that it's almost like they just ran for office and got in. Somebody like me, if I ran for office, I'd probably never get in because I've done this radio show for so long. They just dig back and find all these crazy things I said, you know, that make me sound like a kook. But they do get a lot of real goofballs in politics. And then over time, these people work their way up, you know, to wherever. And like I've said in the past, I'd love being the president of the United States. I mean, Donald Trump is the right man for the job. I mean, that guy is, you know, he's run board meetings and he's just been a powerhouse forever. He's, you know, it's interesting. People say he's thin-skinned, but he's really thick-skinned. Because if you're thin-skinned, in other words, if you're oversensitive, hypersensitive, you don't react and respond to everything. You eventually go away. You crawl into your cocoon, and you just say, I don't want any more confrontation, and you just hide. Obama and his administration tended not to respond. So people would say horrible things about the U.S., just terrible things, and they would say nothing. Trump will speak back. Now, right now, we've got Trump. We've got this Kim Jong-un thing going on, and I honestly do not trust the guy. This is the leader of North Korea. He just returned three of our captives, you know, and they act like, folks, we have our morals messed up because they act like it was a great thing for Kim Jong-un to do that. People don't realize how cruel he is and how corrupt that family is. He has people in jail because of things that their relatives did. He tortures people. That Warmbier guy that they brought back who died before this, I mean, they had tortured and tormented that poor kid. and said, oh, we got this or that disease. No, he was 20-some-year-old college kid. And that's why after that, when Kim Jong-un figured out Trump's not a game player. And when this guy figured out, when Trump said fire and fury, he said, if you even consider pointing a missile at the U.S., he goes, you are going to have, I think his term was hellfire and fury coming down on you. And that's all that guy understands, because that guy's main goal is to preserve his position. He's a sick man, and he is not negotiating a legitimate deal, and he's doing all these phony acts of contrition. He's saying that he's, shutting down certain bases that of nuclear testing, which they're saying are already expired. That they're overused. They're ready for destruction, and Trump's going along with it, and he's saying, "Oh, that's great," and Trump's being really gracious about it. It's tough because Trump's a negotiator. He wants to meet in the middle, and how do you meet in the middle with somebody who's a complete crazed nut job maniac who has no respect for human life? So Kim Jong-un realized how unpopular he was globally, and now he's trying to make himself, an internet sensation or something. And when they meet, and he's saying that he's going to give up all this nuclear power, and it's all for security. The way these guys think is self-preservation. He just needs, all he wants to do is preserve North Korea. That's it. Or himself is what I should say. That's really his goal. So he, who knows what agreement they'll come to, but it's sad what we do is we'll end up giving them, $60 billion a year or something. And there are these little rogue states that we give huge amounts of money to promise not to create nukes or to promise not to, so we pay them huge amounts of money. And then we tell them that we'll protect them. And then you've got countries like Iran out there that are just sick, horrible, wretched, just dark side stuff. And I personally believe that we're heading towards Armageddon of some sort. So what I was talking about a minute ago, it was liquidity. The fact that our facility is solid as rock. So liquidity is the ability to sell stuff fast and easy if you want to. We have a market, whether it's, it depends on how you look at it, whether it's stocks, bonds, whatever it is, okay, it's up. It's up, it looks strong, it's, blah, blah, blah. We've got hyperinflation and all that going on that's driving it. I watched a movie last night called, it's old, it's like from 2011 or something. It's a documentary, and it was called, give me a break. Now my brain won't give it to me. Oh my gosh. Let me see here if I can find it. Inside Job. That's what it was called. Inside Job. Okay. And what it was a breakdown of how the entire market collapsed in 2008. Okay. Well, nothing surprising there. Everyone knows about that, right? Well, kind of. The thing that most people don't realize is that this happens over and over and over again. Year after year after year, well, year after year, how about, decade after decade, I don't know, however you want to put it. These types of situations, we'll call them crashes, if you will, they continue to occur. You have got just one absolute crash after the next. And people don't realize how many market collapses there have been throughout history. I mean, I know it, but I kind of maybe didn't pay attention to it. But the list of market collapses, you know, the list of U.S. market, let's see, look it up here, collapses, bailouts, whatever you want to call them, corrections would be nice, are, you know, you've got the crash of 08 and then the crash of 01. And then, you know, you've got the 90s, the dot-com craze. And I start going through all this stuff, and I'm like, what in the world? You know, it's kind of this, like, little mini wake-up call. I'm like, wait a minute. By the way, I have all these other notes here on division, too. But anyway, so in the 2008... market meltdown, we had, well, here's a note that I wrote to myself. I said 2008 economic meltdown, and then I wrote caused simply by fiat currency system, and then I wrote crisis after crisis occurs and the financial industry makes more and more money each time. And do you know, folks, that that's the fact, right? I wrote 1990s Wall Street began to explode in value again. And then I went through this all this detail. And then I had the Reagan administration started 30 years of deregulation, which is, you know, it's mostly true. A lot of it is the liberal socialistic agenda. And then the 1980s SNL fraud. We had the 2001 dot-com crash, you know, and then it goes back from the 98 to 2003, Fannie Mae overstated their earnings by $10 billion. Everybody lost their tail there. We got derivative crashes in the 90s. We have the huge stock market crash in 1987. We had the huge fiat currency explosion of the 70s. Folks, here's what I'm telling you, right? Bottom line simplicity. And I have promised or whatever to try to stay on task and course and teach you about metals and about what the heck I do and what the heck I believe. And it's, yes, it's biblically sound teaching. It's biblical truths. It's absolute truth. Okay. But the thing is we just, folks, we are deceived. We are deceived. We just don't think that what God said is enough is enough, you know, and it isn't, folks, greed will kill you. The desire for more will kill you. Investing to get rich will kill you. And why do I say this? Because that's what you do. You don't. You know, now I know there's people that probably say, I just want a nice little nest egg that I know will just grow at a nice little percentage every year. And the fact of the matter is, it doesn't. It's driven by hype. And if you think about this 401k IRA thing, right, that they just, you know, that they say, you got to have it. You got to have an IRA or a 401k, right? You got to have it. You just don't have a choice. And, I mean, like I said, legally you have a choice, but you may or may not know what I'm saying. What I'm saying is everyone's doing it, right? So if everyone's doing it, you better do it too, because you got to fit in and it makes good sense, right? It's pre-tax income, pre-tax investments. And look at what's happened to taxes since they started the 401k system. Taxes have gone way up. They've gotten, you know, over $1 trillion in penalties paid. People save up all this money and all of a sudden they're looking at it and they're having a problem, or they get too much debt and they're looking and they go, I got $140,000 in my IRA or my 401k. And they decide to take it out and they have to pay these tax penalties and things like that. Those things are sad and wrong and a bummer, to be quite frank. That's why I'm not a big fan of them. But where I'm going with this is that there is one true way. There always is one true way. You know, when my son went through this period of time where he was questioning his faith, he would get the whole world is constantly throwing at us all these debates and arguments against the truth, just constant. And like I said to him, and I've said to others, there's only one truth in general, one right way, but the number of wrong ways is infinite, right? It's just infinitely endless. It just keeps going and going, and there's, you know, one new wrong idea after the next. And people in philosophy, especially, get hung up on this. They get hung up on chasing down these crazy theories of what this or that does or doesn't do. You know, they've got all these theories of how this works and how that works. And you know, and really what they're looking for is all these financial vehicles. When you go back through what took place during the stock market crash of 08, you folks, I mean, you talk about, wow. I was just, it was kind of a, you know, a wake-up call, maybe, if you want to call it that. I don't know. But what I can tell you is that it is nothing new. It's, they say that it's caused by deregulation. Okay, so they're saying because we deregulated back in the days of FDR, or, you know, really Reagan did most of it because, of course, it was narrated by left-wing Matt Damon, and I had to listen to all that stuff. But I could listen through it. But the fact of the matter is, the lack of control over these things, or as they say, you know, as we were just saying, you know, the deregulation, it essentially put us in a position where we have a lot of financial availability for mistakes. And when you start to go through the last couple crashes, and you look, folks, at the amount of money these guys were making beforehand and how afterwards. And, of course, the guy doing the show is trying to get him to apologize and admit fault. And I'm like, yeah, right, good luck with that, buddy. I mean, but the fact of the matter is it was astounding. I mean, absolutely astounding. At, you know, I just don't even know. I've got this transcript from the show that I'm trying to figure out how to even touch, because it's a terribly written transcript, but also it goes through all these different, this is a terrible transcript. I had a friend someone here helped me grab it, but, when you have a fiat currency system, folks, and you start thinking that you can create something out of nothing, right? It isn't that difficult to resist. I mean, think about it. You think that you can create something out of nothing. Is that not a draw on human greed? Yes, it is. You think that you can do it, and you try, and people do it. And then what it always happens, it's just a new form of a pyramid scheme. And what happens is, like at the top of this market, when these crashes took place, there was guys making like, they showed guys making like $485 million. They showed guys who were working normal jobs during the day, who started learning how to sell bonds at night because they couldn't make enough money doing it. And then simply, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years later, they're making millions and millions of dollars, and they thought they were smart, but they weren't smart. The fact of the matter was, there was so much I don't know what you call it, corruption going on. It was absolutely out of control. And then we get to the point where you've got, you know, 10 investment banks settled. You know, you've got these $1.4 billion settlements promising to change their ways. You know, you've got the next crisis came at the end of the 90s. Here's, you know, I've just got this little breakdown thing where they talk about in the 80s. I mean, I just keep backing up into this. It never ends. It's after the Great Depression, the U.S. had, you know, 40 years of basically what they would call economic growth without any major financial crisis. Okay, so why is that? Okay, why after the Great Depression from the 30s to the 70s did we have really no big major thing? Well, one thing they lead out is what's called the Bretton Woods Act, okay? The Bretton Woods Act was us telling everybody in the world, you will now call the dollar your gold standard, okay? So we forced everybody to come into our system and trade oil globally based on the U.S. dollar. We did not give them a choice. If anyone says we did, they don't understand quite how the system works. We did not give them a choice. There was just, you know, how that unspoken stuff is when the Gestapo tells you what you're going to do with your money. Or, you know, the consequences of not listening are pretty great. So that's where we were at that point in time. Is the Bretton Woods Act basically forced everybody in the world to call the U.S. dollar the new gold standard, okay? So then we have that. And then what happens for whatever reason, so we get, you know, we're growing, you know, things are okay, things are solid. For some unknown reason, we decide to go off of the gold standard. We have been conned. And here's what happened. The Federal Reserve Act of 1913 kicked in. Well, just to keep things simple, basically we had the Federal Reserve Act. Well, you go all the way back. You got our founding fathers create a system based on gold and silver, period. There's only one true form of wealth in the world. When all the dust settles, folks, and all this stuff's over, and we have our next crash after our next crash after our next crash, in the end, it's going to be gold and silver. Gold and silver is going to be money. I don't care what you say. I don't care what you think. I don't care what your flawed logic is. I mean, not only is the Bible crystal clear about that, not only does 5,000 years of written human history confirm that, you know, and there's, I mean, it's wealth today. It is true wealth. It is money. It is, and you don't have to put all your money in it. But if you're gonna build, you know, people say, oh, you know, gold and silver hasn't done really that great. And it's like, you know, why? How would you come up with that concept? I mean, you started saving gold and silver in the 90s. I mean, you know, 20 years later, you've got, you know, in 20 years, you've made 600% or whatever it is, 500-600%. I mean, 500-600% in 20 years, that's not bad. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. You go back 40 years, 50 years, you're talking thousands of percent. You're talking 3,000-4,000% on your return. I mean, that's good. Now, that's the way they want you to think, is greed. Because they want you to think you're going to make money. And now then I'll sidestep real quick to, again, I've talked about this bank on yourself and annuities and whole life insurance and all this stuff, right? All these stupid programs that don't work. They're all a scam. They're set up to just clip your money and clip your wings and everything else. They're bad. Get rid of them. Don't touch them. Run. Get away. Get out. Get away. Right? They're bad. Period. Simple as that. The biggest problem that we run into is people get on the phone with somebody somewhere else and they get conned by professional salespeople. I'm going to be honest with you. We do not have any consignment here. There's or no commission, you call it. Nobody here makes any money based on profit margins or how much they sell or anything like that. Sometimes I wish they did because, you know, people tend to get a little lazy. But on top of that, I don't, my people aren't the best salespeople, okay? So you can have, you can be calling back and forth with another company. And if you've got some guy that's on pure commission, he is just chomping at the bit to sell you something. He's hungry. He wants you to buy that because when you do, he's going to make a killing. You would not believe the amount of money that we see people put into like annuities and stuff, $500,000, $600,000, when they should be buying precious metals. And then they put it in a 401k or an IRA. Well, you know, an annuity is supposed to be a tax-deferred vehicle anyway. And then, you know, and then they put it into another tax-deferred umbrella. And, you know, it's just all silly. It's just silly stuff you should not be doing. So, you know, like I said, you just stay away from them in general. But what you basically want to do is just build a solid nest egg. Now, what I'm saying is crash after crash. Folks, here's where I'm not doing a good job of communicating. Okay, Donald Trump gets elected. I'm stoked. I'm jacked. I'm like, yay, everything's better. Yay. And then I start to realize, you know what? Donald Trump, he's not a conservative. He's a populist. Now, is he doing a good job in a lot of ways? Yeah, you bet. The guy's a horse, right? He's a powerhouse. Way better than Obama. There's some, you know, it's crazy to say, but there are some things about Obama that I kind of miss. Like one was, I mean, he actually, we pay a higher real estate, we pay a higher tax under Trump than we did on Obama. And then I was talking at the beginning of the show about liquidity. When you have precious metals-based assets, hard assets, folks, they are liquid 100%, and do not underestimate the value of that. It is hugely liquid. Now, it's cash anywhere in the world at any time. What else is? What else in the world is cash anywhere at any time? Nothing. Now, I'm not going to tell you that if you go to a pawn shop at 3 in the morning in Las Vegas, not that I would ever do that, but, you know, you're still going to get money for it. You may not get the full fair price because that's the dirty part of the world. But my point is that it's still liquid. If you walk in there with stock certificates, guess what you're going to get? You're not going to get anything. Because they don't want them, because they're no good, right? But precious metals-based assets, which I always use, one other way to say it is gold and silver. One other way to say it is, that's probably about it. But anyway, so this is where it's at. Precious metals-based assets are the thing, and they're liquid. And so where I'm going is this. You have the world's politics and economics are, there is just, I mean, we have grown accustomed to the pressure cooker, folks. You are used to a level of global pressure that you don't even know. You don't even realize how numb you've become. Now, this is if you watch the news. If you watch the news, you're numb. I mean, every day is chaos and catastrophe, right? Just one after the next. And it's just, and then the left-wing media, oh my goodness, just trash Trump, trash Trump, trash Trump. So now they're in panic mode, right? Because they lost the election. And have you ever seen a sore bunch of losers? No. You know, they're horrible sports, horrible sports. So you teach your kids, you got to be a good sport, right? You teach your kids. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. But what really establishes the character of an individual isn't whether they win or lose, right? It's how they handle that situation. I'm sure you all agree with me there. And the left has behaved in a way that I am appalled. I am ashamed. I am embarrassed. I am disgusted. It's sad, to be frank with you, that we would ever, ever behave this way as Americans. Ever. I mean, how do we do this? How in the world do we behave like as Americans with this hatred for each other? This, you know, this unity has been divided. We are being divided, black against white, man against woman, red, you know, Democrat against Republican, young against old, rich against poor. You know, it's just, it's wrong, isn't it? And then they come up with new categories and new names. And now we've got to have transgender, and then we've got to have homosexuality, and then we've got to have abortion versus non-abortion. Folks, you've heard the term divide and conquer. It is a term that is well known. It is a way to control people. It has been implemented over and over through history. Once we got a little more communicative on a broad global basis, we had the Nazis beginning to teach us how to do it more, and we taught them more than they taught us. But, of course, the history books will never tell you that. But the fact of the matter is that we are feeding this frenzy that is just nothing but a huge amount of divisiveness. And, you know, you got to pay your fair share and all that. I mean, and then you've got Hillary, who cannot get over the fact that she lost. She can't go away. I don't know why. I don't know why. But she can't get over it. She won't let it go. And she's, you know, recently this last week in Australia, she said, people become enraged. She said, in our country, when a woman aspires to a position of power, men become enraged. I mean, is that really true? I say, no, it's not true at all. Even clear back in the 90s, when it was supposedly, you know, way more tolerable, which it wasn't, I had female bosses, male bosses. I had females beat me out of position opportunities. I never lost sleep or got frustrated over that. I didn't even consider the fact that they were a woman. It really never crossed my mind. I've worked with black people, white people, Hispanics. I mean, I've worked with them all. I don't care. I mean, I really don't care one iota about the color of your skin. I really don't care. In fact, I've met some wonderful, you know, African-Americans. I mean, of course I have. They're people, okay? I don't care. But they make you think you care. They tell you you care. They say conservatives are ice cold, mean, rotten, you know, hate filled, you know, all this stuff. So it's divisive. It's division. Okay. So now we're dealing with a combination of divisiveness and division combined with, you know, all of this fiat currency runaway train lack of liquidity. So what I was talking about early in the show, and now I'm going to start to actually stay on the money track. I've got a bunch of prime real estate, a bunch, whatever. I've got some nice properties. And one I passed on an offer about a couple months ago I should have taken. Apparently it was a Vietnamese couple on a very nice high-end home I have up in North Spokane. And the way they negotiated was they said, here's our offer. And I counteroffered, and they didn't counteroffer. And then their agent said, that's just the way they are. They said their culture says no, that you don't, on a house, you don't do that. You just make one offer, and they take it or leave it. And, you know, you never know how each culture functions so differently in just how they handle things. Every culture has their own gig, you know, and you got to live it, you got to see it, you got to experience it to understand. So let's talk about real money with the time we have left, which I never allow myself any anyway. We truly live in a system that is designed for crash after crash after crash. And each time people walk away richer, I mean, the rich do get richer, you know, and it's frustrating that the left, you know, they rant and rave, the rich get richer and the poor get poor. The left's doing everything they can to make the poor poor, folks. I mean, it's so horrible. I mean, you know, just trying to get by, trying to live as a regular working man, it's tough. It's, I don't know how people do it. I really don't. And it's not that I'm rich, but folks, we've been blessed. And I've done some dumb things with the money God's given me, and I've made mistakes, and I've been good, and I've been bad. But I just feel so blessed, you know, and we've lived on the other end, you know, of our lives where we were, you know, my wife and I spent years in poverty with my wife bedridden with disease and with rheumatoid arthritis and things. So we know what the other end of it's like. It's really tough. And you got to trust God. You got to beg God. You've got to go to him over and over again. And you've got to forgive. You've got to be forgiven, and you got to repent, and you just have to let him have control of your life. And he will. He's faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, right? So when it comes to the real money situation, what you're looking for, the problem is what you're looking for is an investment. Investments are what fuel collapses. They're what fuel bubbles, and they're what fuel collapses. So you say, Kevin, what bubble is there right now? Right now, we've got a 1031 bubble, which means guys have commercial real estate that they either have sold or they have to sell, and they want to move the money. They have to move the money into something, or they owe huge taxes. So on a 1031 exchange, basically they've got to get their money into a new commercial piece of property within a certain period of time, or they're subject to a 23% capital gains tax. Now, if you sell a building, say you built a building for $3 million, say, and say over time you've depreciated off a huge amount of it, you know. Every portion of that building that you've depreciated off is due as income in taxes if and or when you decide to sell that facility. Our tax system, I was talking to a friend of mine this weekend, crazy, just crazy. I mean, I have a friend who's just he's in trouble. I mean, he's in trouble because he's like, Kevin, I can't afford these taxes. He goes, I retired, I've got this money set aside, and the taxes keep going up, and he's going to have to liquidate his property because he's got some really nice view property in Coeur d'Alene that he was the first one in this development back in the early 90s, and the taxes, I mean, he said literally the taxes back then were like, you know, $1,000 a year, and now they're like $12,000 a year. He's like, Kevin, how do you do this? I don't get it. And I agreed with him. I'm like, it's wrong. It's so, we've gone so far away. Folks, we have sucked so deeply into the economic, into the socialistic, communistic system, it's not even funny. I mean, we really have sunk deep into it. The dollar's lost 99.5% of its spending power from 1913 to 2013. So over 100 years, we lost 99.5% of the spending power. Now, to put it in perspective, I've done this over and over, $100 in 1913 is nearly $20,000 in 2013. Okay? The average home sales price has increased over 226%. times or 22,646% from $1,168 average in 1913 to $200. Well, this thing was written a few years ago, but basically now I've got some numbers wrong. But here's the deal: in 2013 it was $264,500 was the average home sales price. In 2017 it was $296,000. So real estate's going up like wildfire. What's that tell you? 250% increase in value. What's that tell you about inflation? Tells you that inflation's real. Since we abandoned the gold standard in 71, gold and silver have increased in value over 4,000%. Okay. The short-term precious metal spike in 1980 was caused by the Hunt brother thing was a short-term anomaly. I won't even get into it, but it is not something to ever be considered because it lasted for just a few weeks. It was squelched by the SEC and FTC. The market made an immediate correction to its, quote, normal manipulated levels after they got back involved and said, no way, you're not getting away with this. So, anyway, on and on that whole deal goes. On and on that whole deal goes. So the short-term precious metal spike, we got that. So we got the consumer price index. This is where a great deception is taking place on a daily basis. This is where your deception lies. They're telling you that your inflation rate is only X percent. I've explained. It's an exclusionary index. It does not include food, transportation, real estate, or energy costs, period. That's the way it is. You and I both know that your cost of housing and your cost of cars and your cost of everything, you know, your cost of energy and to power your home and to put groceries in the refrigerator and all everything. Now you've got phone bills have gone through the roof, right? I mean, everything. How do you do it? People pay $1,000 for a stupid iPhone X. I mean, are we nuts? Yep, we are. And they don't last forever. Those phones are made to fall apart. The consumer price index used by our government to calculate and report inflation figures is an exclusionary index, which does not include food, transportation, real estate, or energy costs. These excluded expenses are what the average American consumer spends 85% of their disposable income on. Simple calculation of inflation rates derived from these excluded items reveals that since 9/11, September 11th of 2001, inflation has grown at a rate between 10 and 12%, which is 4 to 5 times what our government statistics are constantly peddling. Look at a website called shadowstats.com. A little bit complicated, but worth a look, okay? Precious metals have never lost their value or become worthless. They are timelessly valuable, okay? That's the whole point. It's real money. It's real wealth. Folks, do you know how many people lost their jobs? I mean, there's like, you know, I don't even remember the numbers. They're outstanding. I mean, 70 million people lost their jobs in the last crash of 2008 and, you know, in the like $10 trillion in assets were lost and houses were given up and all this stuff. Folks, do you think that's God's system? No. Do you think that's just a big mistake? No, it's not. It's a debt-driven system. Do you want to escape that? Do you want to live the way God wants you to live? Just own precious metals. Just keep it that simple. Hard assets. Just do it. So what's the worst case scenario? Oh, my gold only went up, you know, 13% over the last 7 years or something. You know, you don't even know what it's like to lose a ton of money. I've done it. I've tried different investments. I did some things that when I knew better, when I know my business, I know coins, I know I have some great incredible investment stuff. I just went through a massive hoard, unbelievable, probably 50 pounds of old U.S. type coins, old, you know, the early large cents and 2 cent pieces and 3 cent pieces and stuff that I've stored up forever that are, you know, the returns on them are astounding. They're ridiculous. They're incredible. They're phenomenal. They're great. They're wonderful. That's where you want to be. You want to be where the value is, where it lies, where it grows. And no one can take it away from you. But gold and silver is the simplistic way to start. Precious metals, they've never lost their value. They've maintained their spending power for thousands of years without any exception. The amount of above-ground gold and silver has remained relatively static throughout human history. The U.S. dollar is rapidly losing favor worldwide. I've done a little bit of international travel in the last few years. I'm shocked. The dollar, man, you used to be able to pull out a $100 bill, and man, people were like, yeah, you know, like, you can do some damage with that thing. Now, everything's priced in U.S. dollars. The dollar's lost value. These other countries' buying power has gone up. And so now, all of a sudden, everything, hotels and all this other stuff, costs the same there as it would here. There's nowhere left on earth that you have a real safe haven. The thing, it's designed that way on purpose, you know. They designed it so that they could have at one time, this is that we're going to have a new world order. We're going to have a one world currency. This is what's coming. I assure you, you want to get out of it. You want to avoid it. Just follow the Bible and put your money in precious metals based assets. Give Coins Plus a call, 444-0044, toll-free 877-TAB-COIN, or through the website at coinsplus.com, and we will help you do so. We are out of time again. I've got a lot of details to cover, and I never do it all. Hey, take care. God bless. We'll be back Wednesday. Thanks. Bye-bye.